Good evening, everyone. It must be Sunday night, and we are together again. I'm George Watkins, and I am pleased to be able to come again and talk about the good things of the Lord. Thanks for stopping by. Hey, what is it in your life that is in front of your face that takes your attention, gets your attention, and keeps your attention? Now, you answer that. I don't have an answer for that. I know what's in front of my face, and I put it there by faith, just like you do. I put it there by obedience to the promises, word, and commands of the Lord, just like you do. Now, take a picture, a snapshot of Peter, that classical story of Peter in the boat. Jesus is walking on the water. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, the storm did not affect his faith. Now, that's the challenge we have, isn't it? Distractions. Wow. They come in all kinds of forms. And some come by our own wishing. I was listening to a famous author the other day talking about his early writings where he wrote movie scripts, movie stories, and became quite famous. And he said he locked himself in a small room and blacked off, he painted the windows black so he couldn't even tell what time of day it was. And he wrote until he got in, you know, he wrote with inspiration. No distractions. And he said this, I thought was interesting. Many people sit down to write and they hope the phone rings or they wish someone would invite them to lunch. Any excuse to stop writing. Now, that's just an illustration of focus. So when the scriptures talk about our eyes being continually on him, having him before our face, our eyes, our spirit, our minds. Let these things be in you that were also in Christ Jesus, that attitude, that faith. So my question again is, what is in front of your face? One of the reasons that we pray is to focus on the things of God. You often, and I'm sure it's natural, just to see something in your thinking when you're praying. When the Protestant Reformation came, they were so anxious to get away from Catholicism because of the overabundance of images and idols and so forth, that the theologians, John Calvin being the main one, would not even allow you to imagine God's face, what he looked like. If you had any kind of imagination, you were an idol worshiper. Well, that prevailed for, still does in some cases. But we understand that our divine, our anointed imagination, that imagination God gave us to see and to dream and to create, we see God, we see his face, we see his things, his stuff, his world as we pray. Now, that's the beginning of that mysterious life called the life of faith. Or, in a short, here it comes, that's the traces of a mystic. Now, what is a mystic? A mystic is someone who prays to a God that nobody else sees, believes in a heaven that you can't prove. It's any time you are seeing, hearing, and believing in something that's invisible, in the spiritual sense at least, you are a mystic. For Paul calls it mysteries. Same word. Okay. I love that subject, so we're not going there today, but I want to talk about Jesus not being the light of the world. Wow. I say that, I can feel the rumble all through the you know, the atmosphere, because we quote that verse and sing the song about Jesus being the light of the world. But let me just break it down just a little bit, because the emphasis in my spirit, my life, that I'm passing on through our simple time together on these videos is what God has done in you and for you, and why he's done it, so that you have been brought into his world in that redemption, in what we call salvation, being born again, but we've been brought back to God because we have been made in his image. Now, we know that God is light, don't we? And we also know, because of that, that he created us in his image. Now, in the notes below, and I've got some notes in front of me, I don't want to miss. In the notes below, I've listed several of these items that I'm going to talk about. And I did that so you could be reminded of the preciousness, but the power and the beauty of why God transferred to you the light that's in him. He said in, let me pick it up in Matthew. He said, you are the light of the world. Now, how does that work? When he said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. But he also said in John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Bingo. There you go. You see, as long as he was moving among the people, this was before the crucifixion, resurrection, he was the light. He contained the light. But we know in Acts 2 and other references, the Spirit of God came, left the temple made with hands, into the temple made without hands, that's you and me. There's two references to God's temple. One of them is collective, the collective temple. We call it the ecclesia or the church. God dwells in that as a body, the body member. But you and I also are temples of the Holy Spirit, and the light of God dwells in us. Now, in Philippians 2:15, he says, you shine as lights in the world. All right, there's the transfer. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light. But Jesus went back to the Father, and he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. Same DNA, same family. Into you, and you are the light of the world. So he said, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father in heaven. We know Jesus and God are the source of everything. We are not the source. We're not the sun, we're the moon. We reflect, don't we? But it's still the same light. You have been made of light. Now, the newest technology can photograph light coming out of our bodies. We are made of light. We have a coat over us called skin or body, but our spirit is light. Amen. So what does that mean to us and for us? Why is that important? I'll tell you, just to remind you, because most of you that are born again know this, that you have an impact in people's lives far beyond what you understand. You don't realize how people feel when you walk in a room. Often we'll deal with someone who has a strong demonic bondage, and you walk in the room and they react in some form, sometimes even not noticeable. Maybe they'll leave, maybe they'll get mad at you and you know, fight with you or start arguing, or that's a reaction of something that disturbed them and they don't know what it is yet. But you come in to a room, you bring the light of God in with you. Now, that's without preaching or singing. or, you know, putting scriptures on the wall. That's you, a light bearer. You are the light bearer of heaven. We're made out of the same stuff God's made out of, according to Genesis 1. We have been made in his image. Now, the nature and the creativity and the character and the passion and the purpose, all the things that God is made of in his however you speak of a spirit, all those things are contained in you and I. But they get buried under the flesh. Paul calls it carnality. What is carnality? Depending on the things around, trusting in the world, trusting in your own strength and your own talents, money or whatever it is, denying the power of God. All those things are carnality. They cause us to be covered and shield the world from the light that God's given us. Now, as a picture example, let me just bring your attention to what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. This is where Jesus, Peter, and John go to the top of the mountain, and Jesus encounters Elijah and Moses, I believe. Now, when they're standing there, Jesus morphs into a light. I mean, boom, phew, light. Well, the disciples are impressed. They're so impressed, they want to build some worship tents there. We call them tabernacles. They just want to build a time here. We're going to stay here. We're going to have church because they saw the light bursting out of Jesus. When I was a teenager, I was preaching with my dad in Spokane. We traveled over there and did a revival meeting together. And there was a black pastor that we became acquainted with, a sweet, powerful man of God, and he told us this story. I've never forgot it. He said he had a vision of Jesus coming to him and unzipping him from the back like a suit, unzipped him, and Jesus stepped inside of his body and zipped him up. And when he did, there were lights coming all out of his pores, as it were, you know, the holes in your skin, and he began to glow like a light bulb. I never forgot that. And as you can tell, it's been a few years. Why? Because that picture was burned into my understanding that Jesus is the light of the world, but he gave us that spirit, and it is impregnated. We are impregnated with light. Because of that, we are light. Now, the scientists tell us that we are made up of light. And, vibrations and frequencies and all those scientific technical terms. Our body is continually pulsating because of the atoms that move in us. Oh, I know, I went way past my pay scale, okay, on that one. Now, why is that important? I want you to feel and sense and just carry in your understanding, and it'll affect your emotions for good, for good, you know, good emotions. Encourage you to know that you have an impressive life. You have an impressive God, and you are an impressive imager. I use that once in a while because it's what God made us in his image. We are an imager of God in his image. So, what if God walks in? What if Jesus walked into your front room or your church or your cafeteria or a cafe where you eat? Whoa, hey, there's Jesus. Now, of course, he'd have to have a robe on and a beard for us to reckon. Come on, a little humor there. That's why you and I see angels all the time. Well, scripture says we do. Jesus said that angels come and we are unaware of them. Well, if we're unaware of them, how do we know we missed them? We don't. We just don't know they're there. Why? but they're there in suit and a tie or cutoffs and a beach shirt and flip-flops. I don't know. They're there so they move among us. Now, the point I'm bringing out is that if Jesus walked in, back to my original thought, if Jesus walked in and you knew it was Jesus, wow, boy, would I be impressed. Some of us, I'm sure, would fall on our face. Others would raise our hands and glorify God. If you're already a friend of Jesus, you'd probably run over and grab a hold of him and hug him. I've had so many. Let me categorize this for a minute. About 10 years ago, I had an experience with the Lord. And I was meditating on just the presence of Christ, just loving God, speaking to him about how much I love Jesus. And as I did, Jesus rode up. Now, this is in my spiritual sensitivity, which we call our anointed imagination. It wasn't an open vision. It wasn't something I could knock on and hear a noise. But it was as real as it gets in the spiritual sense. Jesus rode up on a horse, a white horse. Now, shock of all shocks, he wasn't in a robe and a crown. He was in beach cutoffs and a tight t-shirt, barefoot, bareback on this horse. I'm laying on the sand somewhere. I think it was on a beach or a lakefront. And he grabbed a hold of me and threw me on the back. I grabbed a hold of him. And when I put my arms around his t-shirt, I felt the muscle in that body. And I had never had such a personal experience with Jesus as we rode off. And we did quite a number of things on that journey. Off across, not so much on the ground, perhaps more up above the ground some. Off across the meadow, we went by a couple of historic anointed things that had happened in the past. But in the course of time, we went over Nova Scotia. And as we went across a certain town, he gave me the name of the town we were going across. I looked it up later. It was a real place. And in that, he gave me, in my spirit, I heard some things that I should say and do. So I spoke over that town. I declared something over that town. I released, some things. Well, we ended up going by an old spot in St. Louis, Missouri, where Murray Woodward Edder had a great tent revival for 3 months. We went by that spot, and we ended up in Los Angeles, California, in the early 30s. Oh, I've lost some of you, I'm sure, now, but listen to it. This is a spiritual stretching time. Why is that important? Because I want to have an encounter with God and Jesus that goes beyond the paper and ink of the Bible. No. Don't run away on me now. That's not taken away. That's just revealed to us in the personal understanding of our walk with the Lord. All right. Now, take that illustration story, that experience. Take it or leave it. It happened to me. It impressed me. It did something to me. Now, get your own. I don't say that to be smart. I say that to be encouraging to you, because you're not going to experience my experience. You walk in your own spiritual shoe leather, don't you? Hallelujah. So why is it important to know that I am the light of the world? Because that's what the church is. That's what the ecclesia, that's who you are. You are God's representation on earth. You are the residue of Jesus coming, because he gave you his life so that life in you and I would spread to the whole earth. Just like Adam was commissioned to reproduce and fill the earth with the same DNA that he had in him and Eve to fill the whole earth. That was the commission. Well, he missed it. He blew it. Jesus came to do the same thing. And he transferred into you and I the ability to let your light so shine before men that they may glory, they may see your good works and know it's God behind it all. Isn't that something? Well, that's a good Sunday night warm up for the week. We will meet again on Monday morning, tomorrow morning, or bright and early. I love the new week as it kicks off. We gather our little, tools together and jump in. Amen. Thank you for your prayers, your support on every level, the good comments and the subscriptions and the sharing and the likes, you know, all the little things you can do on this internet business. Big, big blessing. And some of you have been nudged of the Lord to send us a financial gift that helps us on all of our expenses along the way. This internet is not exactly free. You got to pay for all the, you know, the platforms and the programs that it takes to kick it out. And it gives us gas in our tank to go down the road. Amen. Well, until tomorrow at early, we're on at 4 o'clock in the morning. So my Eastern brothers and sisters can tune in while they're having their coffee. Amen. I will see you then. God bless.